All right. Hello. Good morning. This is Joanna, and I'm back here with Andrea, and we were about to go into a long diatribe about our lives and then realize, no. Best thought, we got to record.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I basically cut Joanna off, and I was like, let's just record this because it's our therapy session, and, you know, how could we deprive people of our therapy?
Okay. We're going to talk about getting back in rhythm and moving forward with our lives. And
are we?
We are. These are the themes of the day. So we are a day and a half. I'm getting into the hours here.
We're a day past
a very potent full moon in Scorpio. Sun is in Taurus, moon is in Scorpio. And I was teaching about this earlier in the week around the idea of, on some level, like put aside what it may mean or may not mean or whatever the energy of the thing actually is, and go right into the energy around the fact that this cycle has been going on certainly powerfully in the last 6 months since the new moon in Scorpio in November of 2023. Ugh. But also there was an eclipse in October of 2023 and another eclipse in October of 2022 that were basically around the same degrees. So issues that might have come up beginning in 2022 around these themes of change, transformation, transmutation, upgrades, alchemy, mysticism, you know, deep energy work, revelations of past lives, future lives, different timelines, you know, birth, death, rebirth, regenerating, going back into the old, digging underground, seeing how low can you actually go to bring up issues that have never potentially seen the light of day or issues that you've been churning and dealing with. It's like, you know, Scorpio is this watery scorpion. You can talk a little bit about that since I had that experience, but also the opposite energy of Taurus, which is the bull and, you know, the cow. What do? They chew cud and they have like five chambers of the stomach. Do you know how long it takes them to digest? Like, it takes a long time. And I feel personally that this full moon sort of closing out this last eclipse cycle, closing out this last 6 month cycle, and potentially closing out a last cycle of the last year and a half, really, hopefully, and I pray to God that it really is a closure and that we can put some things to bed and move on to the next.
Amen.
I'm exhausted just thinking about it.
Yeah. I mean, we just found a scorpion in the backyard and I'm like, really? Really? Do we have to be so literal? It's like, I know. It's just funny because Scorpio, you know, we've been working on this little project and I was out kind of cleaning up and shaking out some blankets and whatever. And I noticed this thing and it's like, and it looks like a rubber band almost. And I'm like, oh, it looks like a dead scorpion. Oh, it's alive. And
wait,
yeah,
did you pick it up? Okay.
No, I'm not. I don't touch shit. So, you know, we let it go. But that is what the Scorpio sign is too. It's picking up the rock and looking underneath and seeing all the creepy crawlies and bringing them into the light. And God damn, have there been some creepy crawlies and ghoulies and just a lot of pooey stuff, man, that I'm like, take it away, full moon. Like, just take it, please. Just take it all. I just think of that movie Vapura. I don't know. It was Jack Black. It was not a big hit, but it was like they became millionaires or something by inventing this thing called Vapurize. And like they were cleaning up poo and basically sending it off into space. And yeah, you guys, Joanna's.
I don't know about this movie. Okay.
She's very horrified right now. But like, yeah, I mean, the thing is, I was thinking about that October 2022 and that period of time for me was actually just this like golden day, because I'd had a really great install with a client and it was just very profitable. And like the next day I got on the plane to travel to Dublin and Ireland and Scotland, and just that feeling of just having like won a little lottery prize and being like, and now I get to go and just enjoy this trip. And oh my God. And in a way I was like, it could just end here. We could just roll credits now. And I think though, obviously I'm not like, you know, roll credits, but in terms of a feeling of just achievement and good and this sort of, not even completion, but the thing I'm noticing too is a tendency to like, when we talk about closure, when we talk about ending something, there's still flow happening in all other areas of your life too. Like there's still movement. Closure doesn't mean stagnation. It doesn't mean even like cutting off forever. Like that thing might come back to you in a little, you know, it's like I clean my house and I dust and it looks fantastic. And that dust is coming back in like a week. And it's such a practice. It's such a system. It's such a, like, you're never done.
Yeah.
We're never done. And what I actually would say is I pray that when it comes around again, it doesn't knock me out. Maybe I can handle it better. Maybe I can come at it from a different angle. And what I'm finding too is when I go back to that moment where it was just this great achievement, like same thing when I was working and like walking off of set and just so grateful to have had that day of work and magic and where it all comes together and all that work that you do to get to that moment and just to be able to savor it. And I think we've talked about this before. I think it's Tony Robbins. I mean, it's a common known that like we humans, we will do more to avoid pain than to seek pleasure.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes too, we spend a lot of time on the pain and have I dealt with the trauma and is it healing? Do I heal? And it's like, eventually it's like, what if you're done? What if the attention is no longer spent on this and instead is spent in a creative forward motion, taking that energy and moving forward? That I sent it to you. P the Fury had posted these stories last night that just really landed for me. It was like she was talking about everything allowing in the universe. And she's like, I'm going to say this to some of you, not all of you, but some of you, the amount of time that you're putting into the suffering, and have you dealt with the suffering? And she said, self-awareness, you can go too far with it. Sometimes yeah. That self-awareness, just you're good. You're done. You're done. There's other more interesting experiences that you might start looking at. And it was funny because as she was talking about the self-awareness, I was thinking in my head, I'm like, I'm so bored. I am so bored examining these things. You know, your problem is you think you have problems. And the next thing out of her mouth was, there's more interesting things. And I'm like, exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting when we get stuck on the story or stuck on an energy. And you and I meditate a good amount. I've definitely reached the point where I say to myself, I cannot meditate anymore. That is not the solution. Sitting down and doing another meditation is not, that is just an avoidance. And maybe, you know, there is some part of me that's like, oh, well, if I meditate, I'll get another bit of information, or I'll unlock the key that or unblock the key that I need to use the key to unblock the other room or whatever, you know, and to dig in deeper there. But we are doing enough. We are showing up. We are breathing. We are being present. We're paying attention. We're listening. We're listening to one another. And I think this time for me, one of the things that I've gone deeper into, very much aligning with this, you know, with these eclipses, this eclipse cycle and the energies of Aries Libra, which by the way is not specific to this Scorpio full moon, but another one of the parallel timelines that we're on, right? Another cycle, since there are so many that are running concurrently, has been this idea of mirroring. I'm seeing what other people are going through, and I'm seeing what is triggering, what is a growth opportunity or a growth message, what's validating for me. Oh, see how far I've come. Oh, that's not my issue anymore. I've dealt with that. Okay, cool. They're going through it now. Maybe there's something I can offer to them. And maybe there's another piece that I'm looking into that they've managed to navigate well that I can learn from them. Where can I find pockets of myself, pockets of opportunity, of potentiality that I can fill up with a higher vibration? And it's been very, very interesting to see this in people that I'm surrounding myself with, in strangers, in circumstances. And I've really been enjoying that, which is also part of the, like, okay, I'm done with that one piece. So let me move on to the next.
Yeah. And it's not even like, I don't even think it has to be as like, I'm done. It's just, I'm just not entertaining that right now. Yeah, that's there. I'm just not paying attention to it right now. There's other things I want to do. And, you know, this Mercury retrograde that we're almost out of, and I think that's also why we're all a little foggy. It's like Mercury's stationed right now, right? So it's, I mean, we still have a minute to like sit and think about what we've done or haven't. But, you know, something I've been doing and just kind of thinking about the whole, like, there's nothing to fix and la la la, and what's the problem is, you know, I think to myself and I accuse myself often of just not doing anything, of not getting things done, of just being, you know, blah, like procrastinating or whatever. And I was like, okay, well, have you scheduled bullshit nothing time? Like, have you said to yourself, okay, you know what? Let's just pause and do some bullshit nothing stuff. And like, just, you know, give it a container. And, you know, with the Gene Keys and Richard Rudd, he's always talking about pause and the power of contemplation. And I've been doing that. I've been sitting and just letting myself, it's so like elementary and simple, but aren't the secrets of the universe elementary and simple and hiding in plain sight, of just taking 3 deep breaths. And I'm telling you, you know, I can feel physically, I can feel where in my brain is this limited, rattly thought. It's like an attic full of like just roller skates, like just, you know, bumping around during an earthquake or something. Like, that's how I look at my mental monkey mind. And then I remind myself that there is this secret room also, though, that I can go up into the attic, and there's a skylight, and it takes me up into this quantum pure potentiality. And I can feel it. I can feel it all the way up my spine and out my crown. And I just think of those Wrinkle in Time books where the kids would just, you know, I don't know, zip off onto some other planet or some other reality. And I don't know. It's something that's like, it always feels so good when I just tap into that part of my brain that has not, I have not given airtime to probably most of my life. Maybe when I was a kid, you know.
And do you do that during this constructive, contained time period where you allow your brain to go into these spaces?
Sometimes, yeah. Same thing with like meditation. I mean, we meditate. I've been doing the same meditations for like almost a year. I'm bored. I'm also kind of like, I'd love to not do this anymore, because I feel like there's other things I can expand and do. I kind of go back and forth on it. But then sometimes I'll do it and I'll be like, okay, how about we just do it as this is my meditation today. It's not to get something. It's not to solve something. It's not to fix something. And always within those first 3 minutes, I'm like, I start cooking. I'm like, okay, let's just get out of the roller skate room and let's just go. Let's see what wants to come in. Let's give that some permission. And just to finish the thing on the meditation, like overdoing it, I just think of that story where the woman did addiction meditation and then came back and told her teacher that, you know, she quit smoking, and they're like, wow, that's amazing. And she'd only been doing addiction meditation for like a few days. She's like, yeah, I hated it so much that I realized quitting smoking was better than doing this meditation. And that's how I feel though. When we take meditations on as a prescriptive measure, like I need to find someone, I need to meet a man, or I need to like heal this, or I need to make more money, or blah, blah, blah. Like when we get into that prescriptive fix it intention, I think it's great because I think it's a constructive way of approaching something that you look at as a problem. And so make sure you're not just over identifying with the problem of it. You know what I mean? And I think it's, I don't know. I mean, I haven't really come up with an answer, but it's like doing the same meditation every day forever and ever and ever. Some people do that and it really works for them. And then other times I think it's like, maybe I would just say, examine why you're doing the meditation. Mm-hmm. And is there another approach also to help you move on past this problem? And that's what we're looking to do, is to move past it, not spiritually bypass. That's another thing. I think that's like, you know, there's all this like accusation out there that people are spiritually bypassing something. And it's like, well, who makes the rules here? Who says? Like, I have to keep it's weird. It's like, first of all, no one should be telling anyone how to move past something. We can give gentle guidance and help and support. And hey man, like if you're doing that thing, and I mean, it's none of my business if you're spiritually bypassing or not.
I my feeling on that is, unless you're harming yourself or harming somebody else, do your thing. There's no judgment here. Just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah.
Like, go. I mean, there's something way better and way more delightful waiting to be discovered. But if we're stuck in these little rooms where it's like, you know, it's like my dog watching the laser, it's just like, or like watching a fly try to get out of your house, out of a room. It's just sort of like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And I also think, I mean, in the yogic teachings, as we've been taught them in Kundalini, there is an energy shift that happens after 40 days, after 90 days, after 120 days. But then it skips from 120 days to 1,000 days. And there is a big gap here between 120 days and 1,000 days. Oh. So I leave that to people's discretion. But I have managed to make it 1,000 days in a row of several meditations, actually. And I can say for certain, for my experience, for certain, for me, that there was a major shift, a major up level at that point, because you develop a relationship with your own breath, right? Mm-hmm. You develop a relationship if you're chanting with your own sound, and mm-hmm. sound resonates, breath resonates. I'm reading this book called Breath right now by, I think, James Nestor. Have you heard of this book?
I think so.
It came out a couple years ago, and it's very interesting because he was thought that there was going to be all this research about the power of breath and how we breathe, and he found that there was just nothing. And there was a little bit of, he calls them pulmonauts. So sort of an individual here, a doctor there, a dentist here, a, you know, a yogi there, who delve deeper into different breath techniques for a specific purpose. But it's very small and contained, and it doesn't, it hasn't really reached into the bowels of the scientific literature, you know, Scientific American or the Journal of Medicine. And so, but he's talking a lot, and he actually brings up yogic teachings. He brings up the, what the Buddhists know, and what the, and he mentions even Kundalini practice, Satanama, that mantra, and the power of the breath. And so I've since, like, I've been meditating a long time now, and I've been reading this book for 4 days. And mm-hmm. the book is actually bringing more data to the experience that I have had. And one of the things I'll just offer here as a tip for those of you out there meditating or interested in meditating or interested actually in increasing your lung capacity. One is, it's not about the oxygen, it's actually about the carbon dioxide. And two mm-hmm. is, extending the exhale is going to give you more power. And so if you are a runner, or I play tennis, and this is interesting, when I focus on my breath playing tennis, when I close my mouth, I breathe through my nose, and I take longer, deeper breaths, guess what? I hit the ball better, faster, stronger. And it's easier for me to move around the court. So watch your breath, because these meditations, if even if our monkey mind is like, I don't want to do this anymore, why am I here? Did I hit the right number of days? Et cetera, et cetera. Just know that the breath is working to develop you, your emotional body, your mental body, and your physical body on a, and your nervous system, by the way, in on a plane that we don't really even understand. So the body is transforming every time you sit down. And even just understanding that, that's enough in some ways to put yourself in that position.
You know, that's like, that's really cool. I was, because like when I approach the meditation and I'm resistant and it's monkey mind, I just got this picture of like, listen, nobody likes it when you bring your kid to yoga. Okay, you're crying kid. You're like is that, that might be a really unpopular and not compassionate. But I mean, I get it, and I'll move through it, and I'm like, okay, you know, this is part of the experience and all that. And but that's my brain. That's me going into my meditation. That's probably my poor soul sitting there and being like, "Oh, she brought the kicking and screaming kid with her into this meditation. Well, I guess it's just gonna, we're just going to have to muscle through this," right? Rather than letting the meditation, I mean, it's really on me, right? If I'm bored with a meditation, quote unquote, or I'm not, you know, getting anything out of it, that's all right. Well, is there more for me to find here? Is there a way for me to approach this that's not so like bratty? I'm way past 120 days on these two. So I feel like now I'm like out in space, huh? Until like 1,000 days.
Yeah. It doesn't make a difference. But watch the breath, because the thing that's interesting too, and you and I have different practices that we do. And one of the practices that I do requires holding the arms up for 11 minutes. And the thing that's interesting that I really did find out early on, because first of all, it's like an alternate arm thing. So when I started, one arm was way easier than the other. So some days were physically easier than the other. I actually did need a chair. I needed some physical support because I didn't have the strength, whatever that my type of strength was required. And over time, I did find the deeper my breath, the easier it was to keep my arms up. Mm-hmm. So I learned that pretty quickly. And but again, in reading this book, I'm getting a lot of information about why that's happening, right? Of the actual chemical processes that go on through the breath as the air comes in through the nose and gets cooled and heated and moved throughout the system, throughout all of these tubes and a whole maze of data that is activated. And So, but if you are practicing a meditation, watch the breath. That is the point. It doesn't need to be some, you know, major download or major revelation, or you walk out of the meditation feeling, you know, high as a kite, which may, by the way, happen, because guess what? You get high because of the breath moving through the body. And you can have a different experience every day. And that's part of the joy, to sort of circle back to this Scorpio moment of the revelation of it all, is there's always something else to discover. It's truly never ending. I mean, we're very fascinating people. Like, our psyche, 84 facets of the psyche, that's a lot. There's a lot to uncover here.
That's it. And like, there's always another breath. I mean, until it's your last breath, and then you don't have to worry about it. But like, you know, in Bikram, they're very, it's the breath is, I mean, they're militant about it. And I'm grateful, because I hate the mouth breather. Like, you guys know I have that like misomia, whatever it's called, where it's like, if you make any sound in a quiet room, I will want to come over and smack you. But like, the whole, you breathe through the nose, because when you breathe through your mouth, you're sending a signal that you're in fight or flight. Like, that activates a fight or flight reaction to your whole nervous system, which is not what we're after here. We're like, I think we're in the age now of just trying to console our bodies every second that we're not being chased by lions and bears. It's like, you're safe, right? But like, I've been thinking about the whole elemental aspect of all of this too. Like, you're talking about the breath, and then with the Scorpio full moon, I've been thinking about the water. And I think you talked about that in the class that you taught, where it was like, you know, get into water and program your water, speak to your water. Like, the water, you know, there's the two cup method that is, you know, we did you do it, by the way?
No, I didn't, but I'm going to.
Yeah. So there's a two cup method that Jessa Reed has on YouTube. We can probably put that in the show notes, a link to that. But it's a ritual, and it involves like programming water and drinking it. And I've been really taking that into consideration with my water consumption. And I drink out of plastic bottles. And I know, I mean, I'm just breaking rules left and right, guys. I'm gonna order a burger later on too. Programming the water and programming my breath. So the intentions that I've been setting, especially with this last Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, you know, list, like, really catching my thoughts, paying attention to my thoughts. And I think it came from doing the Jupiter Business Kriya. There's one point, there's a recording that I go with from Guru Jagat back in 2017. And at one point, because the breath in Jupiter Business is a long sucking inhale.
Through the mouth.
Yeah, through the mouth and then out the nose, exhale. And at one point, she's like, you're drinking in prosperity. So when I catch myself in some weird little bardo rattle, I was going to say roller skate, but it was coming out rattlesnake. Rattlesnakes and roller skates, that rattly room, when I catch myself in there and thinking these just weird, funky thoughts, I consider one of the intentions that I have, one of my mantras, and I inhale with it. I program my inhale with that affirmation or intention. So, health is wealth or something, you know, and I'll just inhale and I'll hold it. And then when I release, my intention with the release is all of my creativity, all of my output, all of my service. So I'm inhaling my intention, and I'm exhaling all the things that I want to offer to the world, to myself, my talents, my services, all of those Taurus, wonderful, wonderful
gifts.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're gifts.
So try that, everybody. Like, inhale the wonderful thing, the reality that you have stepped into. You know, if you do a timeline jump, if you do a meditation with an intention to shift your reality, you do the two cups or whatever, that you've set it. You have set the intention. You've put the order in to the short order cook. And it's happening. Breathe into it already happening and being real. And that's your reality. Because guess what? You can think whatever you want. Think, and trust me, like sometimes I catch myself walking around saying these like ridiculous affirmations. And I'll say to myself, good Lord, like Delulu, ridiculous. And it's like, guess what, lady? Better than that other weird shit you've got going on back there. Much, much better. Like, I would rather watch that movie than, you know, this bullshit one.
Yeah, there's a lot of cruelty in the brain. There's a lot of mean girl. There's a lot of mean girl. I did this practice once. This woman, Tara Moore, she has a program called Playing Big. And she has a thing, I'm not sure if we talked about it, where one of the modules is about the inner critic. And then there's a separate module about the inner mentor. We have both of these as you're explaining as well, which is, what is that mean girl voice? The dubious, you know, you're never good enough. Nothing you do matters. All of the limiting beliefs, whatever the noise is, it may, but the thing that's interesting about this, the inner critic, and she takes you through something. And I think too, like anyone can do this at any time, is really tune into it. What is that voice? Is it a female voice? Is it a male voice? Is it old? Is it young? Is it you? Is it somebody else? Is it your second grade teacher? Is it the voice of a professor just some imaginary made up elder gentleman who is telling you that, you know, young women or, you know, young men or whatever, however you identify, you know, must behave in a certain way. And it's really interesting because then you can hear it more specifically and identify it right away and get out of it right away, being like, that's not me. That's that other being that's inhabiting my mental energy. And at the same time, we have the voice, you know, as you allude to, is like the wise woman, the knowing, the inner knowing, but also the divine. So what does the inner mentor have to say? What does that sound? What is, you know, is that a female, a male? Is it you as a child? Is it you as an elder? Is it, you know, an outer? Is it your, you know, your great aunt who was the wise woman that always believed in you who passed away when you were three or whatever the thing is? So you can also give that energy a persona if that helps, because all of these, because the way you can also extrapolate that beyond this is our guides, our angels, right? They're here, these energy forces, the great masters are here available working on our behalf all the time, but we need to call them in. And so mm-hmm. what happens is we don't call in our inner critic. It just sits there all the time, loudly. Sometimes we have to call in our inner mentor, but we definitely have to call in our guides, and we have to be specific. And it's very much of an action taken, an initiation in a way to welcome in another frequency that we, to your point, already have. It already is happening. It exists all around us. We are completely divine. We are completely connected to the cosmic field. But if our frequency is slightly off or slightly altered or in some kind of bad, you know, tuning or attunement, how do we move there? We move there through our breath, right? Change the breath. We do anomalous action. We change the field. We change our clothes. Take a shower. I had a friend, loose, not really friend, a colleague, my very first job. We were in our 20s. And she told me that when she got home from work every single day, she took a shower and changed clothes. And I was semi-offended because I thought, oh, like, work is so bad. She hates it so much. Like, right? Like the energy around this place is so negative for her that she literally has to scrub us off every day. But that was her way of moving through time and space, of getting out of like work mode and getting into home life mode, and, you know, being around her fiance at the time and preparing dinner or whatever she was doing next. So we have the capability, and I think that it's interesting to watch us as we go through our days. As you say, you're scheduling downtime to be in that space where you allow this energy to come in. Or maybe it is, you know, and we've talked about this, like you go to the sauna, you go, you know, you put yourself in a water frequency to change the alchemy, to change the algorithm moving into a new space, which opens up something brand new. I often go for a walk or a hike. I like to be out in nature. Water, you've got water in your chart. I've got a lot of earth in my chart. We all have a different way of doing it, and that's the important part here.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, as you're talking, it's like, I'm thinking too, you know, how we always hear this in the sort of new age, whatever, self-help. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what job you do in many ways. I mean, obviously we want to feel fulfilled and creative. Like there's all kinds of experiences we want to have. And when they can all come together, it's great. And if they're not all coming together, we look to change them or, you know, quit the job or whatever. But like throughout my day, what I've been doing lately is just asking for guidance for what's the next action. And like, there's a million things I can be doing and I can only do one. So what's the next thing? And as I'm doing the next thing is revealed to me. And sometimes I do think I'm being tested. I'll get this very quiet whisper, like, do an Instagram live showing protection stones. And I'll be like, okay. And I do an Instagram live about protection stones and, you know, a few people watch and we engage and I don't think I sold anything. And yet I know that doesn't matter. That's not why I feel like I'm being put through these exercises of, well, okay, well, so then what's the next thing? And so then as I'm doing the protection stones, what's actually doing too is I'm going through the house and I'm moving a lot of crystals and energy and cleaning. And there's a rhythm that's being established and I'm feeling less stagnant. I'm feeling less like things are collecting and also discovering pieces I completely forgot that I had.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to keep track of.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just back to your thing too, about the whole, the voices that live rent free in your head, squatters. I don't remember if I said it here, but I had this one, I'm a Reiki teacher, taught me that you can fire your guides. And the thing is, we do call in guides to help us in certain circumstances in our life and certain ancestors who might be really good at one thing, but not great at another thing. And so it's not so much firing them, but you can release them. You can be like, okay, great. You know, mission accomplished. Thank you so much. We closed on the house and we moved in. So thank you, ancestor that was in real estate, for helping. And now you may go. Because I sometimes imagine, you know, like how you bring in consultants and sort of construction workers to build your office. And then once the office is built, the construction workers go and they take their ladders and the cloths and whatever, and away they go. So I just sometimes picture like walking through my sort of reality and they're these total like gross teenagers in one little cubicle eating Cheetos that were there to program my computer. And now it's like, get out of here. Stop hanging around. You got 1099. Get out. But it's an assessment too. It's like really, and only we can know for ourselves if we're complete with something for now. I'll bring you back if I need you. For now, I got to clear out this disk space and I'm good. I'm really good.
Somebody just told this to me yesterday, somebody else. And it was very clear about the guides. Our guides change over time. And maybe there is sort of one overarching frequency that is you know, watching you over this lifetime. But absolutely, we call in and we, the energy that surrounds us is there for a particular reason. And this goes back to these cycles and these spirals. As we're spiraling up and we're cycling up and we're adjusting our frequency and tuning into new bands and new opportunities, new levels of prosperity, we bring in higher, you know, the higher ideas and the guides that are going to take us to the new level. It's kind of like, I mean, even just on the practical level, right? If I play tennis, I like to play tennis with people that are better than me. Why? Because it's going to level me up. I level up, I now have the opportunity to level somebody else up. Then mm-hmm. I go to the next person that's going to level me up. And I think that this is something that you and I have experienced even in our spiritual path. I can definitely tell you, it's like I meet one person, they're at this level, I get a healing, I'm cool. Then I'm now at a new level. Oh, now there's a whole other thing. Oh, there's tarot mm-hmm. cards. Oh, what is that? Oh, I'm interested in that kind of frequency. Oh, archetypes. What do archetypes have to do? Oh, they have to do with spirit animals. Spirit animals. Where is that? You know, and you're on this kind of path, and each thing you gain what you gain, and then you move to the next place. And I think that we do this through our just data sets and knowledge. I mean, this is why we go to school, right? It's like you learn basic arithmetic and you end with calculus. Mm-hmm. Sum.
I never made it to calculus.
Okay, no problem. You could end with trigonometry if that's where that's the end.
I was very, very complete with my mathematical journey in high school. Very complete. Thank you.
It's interesting. I've never really thought about it in the guise of talking to my guys and saying, you're done. You've completed your mission here. And now I'm looking for this next level. But it is important to know and to spend some time. And I think that goes back to the time that you spend in that sort of just open space of creativity or a container of thought or of healing or of opening your heart or focusing deep into your third eye and going into your intuition of what do I know? What feels good right now? What's safe right now? Where can I push a boundary? Where have I been limiting myself? Is there a thought form that I've been repeating that is no longer serving me that I can let go? And I feel, for me, I've just seen so much from the past come up, and it's these like ghosts, and I'm just shooting arrows at them saying, you're done. Mm-hmm. We're done. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Moving on to the next.
Thank you. You're very talented. We'll be in touch. Thank you. Well, I mean, look, there's a pantheon of gods and goddesses, guides, and da-da-da-da-da, all of these beings and energies and frequencies that we can call in at any time to help us get whatever we need. And that's the beauty of astrology and cycles. It's like, it's Taurus season. So guess who's up? Venus. Venus is like, how can I really lean into some Venusian energy this month and just have a nice day with it? I mean, that's kind of what Venus is about, is like, literally, have a nice day, have some chocolate, get a massage, you know, get whatever. Like it's everything's available at all times. And it doesn't have to be like an aggressive, you're fired. Like it could be just, wow, thank you so much. Thank you for your help. I'm so grateful. I think I'm going to take things in a little different direction now. Like, thank you, ghosts. And thank you, exorcists. And thank you. Wow. Thank you so much.
Yeah. We had in Aquarian Women's Leadership Society, we had a guest on Sunday, the Rabbi Karen, and she is a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, and she is a Kabbalistic. She knows the Kabbalah. So this is the Tree of Life. This is the Ten Sefirot. It's a mystical tradition. And we were talking, or she was talking about the current holiday of Passover, which began on Monday night. And the actual, which is all about liberation and liberation from bondage into freedom and what that looks like and feels like and how we act, how we hold on to the past, how we let things go and, you know, move towards the future and all of that. So some of it is very painful and some of it is very celebratory and fun and light. And it was interesting because she was talking about the time before the holiday, and specifically in this holiday, the tradition is to not eat leavened bread or bread that's risen, bread with yeast, anything that rises, because we're symbolizing the time that the people were wandering in the desert and didn't have time to cook their bread or cook their food. It would just be like the sun is beating down on the flour and it doesn't rise at all. You eat basically a stale cracker instead of a beautiful risen piece of bread. But the practice is to clean out your kitchen of anything that has leavened products, anything that has yeast or anything that rises. So it could be rice. Some people are very specific, rice, even beans or something like that. But a lot of people are just like pancake mix, you know, flour, bread, pizza. But the symbology of the cleanse is the part that's the most important, to clear out and get rid of, as we're talking about, these ghosts or the energies that no longer serve us. It's like, oh yeah, I bought that cake mix because I was going to, you know, or whatever, brownie mix because I was going to make brownies and bring them to work and that person's birthday and blah, 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 blah. And guess what? It's been sitting on my shelf for 9 months. Like, this is not serving me. It's a reminder of something that was undone or not completed or, you know, a promise made but not kept. And I think that we have a lot of that in our lives, in not just around food, but around a lot of material goods or ideas in our business. Oh, I meant to do that and that never happened and whatever. And it's like just the idea, and certainly now is spring, it's the spring cleansing period where maybe it does take a complete clarifying moment or week or 3 days, 3 day fast, a water fast, a 1 day, a 7 day, a 21 day, you know, mono diet or something. I mean, I think people are pretty creative in how they do these types of things, to just, again, move the energy and get rid of this stuff. Thank you. Bye. Thank you. I love you. I needed you, but I don't need you anymore. Bless you. Here's the door. Here's the garbage. Here's the toilet. Like, just sayonara, folks.
Yeah, like, we owe no loyalty to anything that's dragging us down, draining our energy. I love that promises made but not kept. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine who, you know, she's been working on a book for a long time, and she's a mom, and she has a full-time job. You know, she does a lot of things. And we were just talking about our day, and she's like, yeah, she's like, I was gonna put some time into the book today, but I didn't get to it. Da, 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 da. And I could feel like she'd been talking about what a great day she'd had. She got all the stuff done. She's like, I didn't get to my book though. And I'm like, do not let that make you disrupt or make you feel down, or like that you let yourself down.
I know. It's like the one failure ruins all of the good stuff.
That's it. And again, it's resonating with that thing that's creating a suffering for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. Yeah. You know what? I didn't do all my taxes today. And no, I didn't wallpaper the entire house. But it's also like, well, who made that promise? Like, who brought that up? And I think it's more just being really loose with yourself too. Like, there's only so many hours in a day and you have one set of hands, as far as I know. I can only speak for myself, but you know what I mean? So it's like, if you start out the day with, you know, 30 note cards on, or you know, ideas on the whiteboard, it's like, let's just be realistic again. Yeah. Let's be kind.
I also think too, though, there is something, and I'm saying this because I need to learn this lesson. There is something to the idea of doing the thing, just doing less of it. So it's like, I didn't get to my book, and I'm, you know, that's the one failure, you know, it's like ruined my whole day, even though I had all these other accomplishments. But instead of focusing on that, what if it was, hey, I know we're on the phone right now, but can I just put you on mute for 30 seconds or 1 minute while I open my computer and write two sentences or one sentence or an outline of what I'll do tomorrow, of what I want to write about tomorrow? Because I think that even just taking that action step towards the thing, even if it's 30 seconds or 1 minute long, can move that energy forward and give a sense of satisfaction. I know that for me is very helpful. I don't focus on the length of time, but doing just a tiny hair of it, it can make a real big difference in my mood personally.
No, that's great, because that's also part is in the whole. A little goes a long way. And you can say to yourself, oh, I did do cat cow for 3 minutes today. All right, I'm done, you know, and I think that's another good practice at the end of the day. And you play the tape back and you revise, or you don't let these energy drains in the back of your head that you haven't quite acknowledged. It's basically like running an app on your phone that you're not using. It's draining the battery. I love that metaphor, because these little tiny scorpions running around up there, it's like I give them way too much of my energy, that whole living rent free.
Same.
I love that. And I think it's also like, do you ever write down things that you did do on a list and then cross them off?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, say I have a to-do list and there's like 5 items. But then I also do laundry. I'll go to that list with the 5 items and I'll write down laundry and cross it off so that I can, even though it wasn't on the list originally, but like to give, it's like I got to give myself that extra credit, because it's like, wait a second. And I did this thing that I didn't think of to write on the list. I actually just did it, but I'm going to confirm with myself that we accomplished this.
I think that that's very helpful, and it's, we do a lot more than we think, and we impact a lot more people than we think. And if, you know, our energy is our currency. So wherever you're putting your energy is benefiting all, benefiting the universe, even if it's negative energy. Well, it's going somewhere, right? There's energy is neutral.
And back to what, you know, P was saying, which is, all that, and like the self-awareness of the suffering versus the self-awareness of being creative or something more interesting. My suffering does no good for anyone. It really doesn't. It's a bummer. It's a drag. It's not interesting. And, you know, I've been that friend, and I've had those friends where it's just like just one complaint after another, or blaming, or just that low vibe thing. And it's like, you know, this isn't really improving anyone's day. I mean, I had a session with someone last week, and like, I texted them later and I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so glad that you got paid for that, because that was the most boring drivel. Like, God, I mean, how boring can you be, Andrea?
What did they say, by the way, after that? After your, like, your...
Yeah. They total sense of humor. Like, yeah. I have been talking to this person for a few years now, and they know all my bullshit, and they know all my tricks. And, I mean, yeah. So it's not, you know, and that is exactly the response I, Andrea, should get. Now, some people actually need more just compassion and a softer landing. And like, you know, because I told someone, I'm like, wow, that's kind of rude that they seemed bored. And I'm like, no, that was exactly what I needed. Because, you know, there's always that, you know, there's always that affirming friend who's like, oh, yeah, yeah. You're like, yeah, that sucks. Blah, blah, blah. And they're not, you know, they're just confirming and affirming your own bullshit, And I think you and I have had conversations where it's like, can you like blow the whistle on me when bring that up again? Because I don't want to be that person either. I really don't. And I'm just as susceptible to falling into a lower frequency as anyone. Like, you're right. So that's why it's good to have friends with an iron fist every now and then.
Yeah, I was thinking too. It's like the point for me, sort of one of these goals of life is to end life with less noise in my head, less bullshit, fewer stories. Whatever these negative thought forms or beliefs, I want them out. I don't want to hold on to these. It's not serving me. It's not serving the people that I speak to. It's not serving humanity. It's not serving the collective. And the more I can call myself out, the better. The more that there are people that I trust that can show it to me. Like, her boredom was a reflection back to you of, this story has no legs. This is going nowhere fast.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, verbal diarrhea is just going down the toilet and there's nothing left when it's done.
Yeah. And to be fair, I went back and listened to the session, and that's when I texted them. I was just like, wow, I just listened to that session again, and I'm so sorry. And the things they said to me and reflected back to me were like, I mean, gold. Like, you know, 45 minutes of Andrea bullshit, probably 2 minutes of exactly what I needed to hear. But sometimes, you know what? It's not a straightforward path. Sometimes we have to sift through the ghosts and the ghoulies and the rattle traps and the echoes and the rent freers, like all this clutter. And, you know, I knew what I needed, and I knew this person could call it bullshit, and, you know, they're getting paid. So it's, you know, fine by them. My brother sent me this meme. It was like blue haired girl with something, some sort of tattoo walks in, and therapist just starts, you know, like, you know, imagining the money pouring in or whatever. Is that it for our therapy? If you're in LA, I'm coming to LA. If you're not in LA, I'm going to LA next week. Yes.
May 4th, 6th.
Yes. And for a few days we're doing a little private event, and
you are bringing crystals.
I am bringing crystals. So if you are in LA and want me to bring anything that you can see in person and hold in your hand, let me know. Especially if there's big pieces, because I'm not going to be bringing, you know, I'm not taking the truck, let's just say. And I'm happy to, we can pre-shop if you want to FaceTime with me, that kind of thing. And yeah, that's exciting. I have not been back since December 2023, I think.
No, 22.
Oh God, you're right, 2022. You know, when we were buying the house and planning to move, I told Tej, I was like, you know, I'm moving to Sedona. And she sort of stared at me, and I was like, I'll come back. I'm going to come back. I'll come back for like trainings. And she looks at me and she's like, but you won't.
They never do. They never do.
Well, no. So now I'm like, well, I have to prove Tej wrong. Like, that's.
Well, you have to see her. Okay. So you're coming to LA. I like this idea, the pre-shop and then the personal delivery. And I am teaching a beginner's astrology class starting April 30th. It's 4 sessions, 4 weeks. And I'm extremely excited, as always. I really like these beginning classes. I think I'm going to do another one too later in the year, because it's a good refresher, and it's just a little bit of a deeper dive into each of these energy systems, really, and these archetypal frequencies that are available to us and resonate with us. And I think there's a lot to learn. And also, too, just the language. This is the language of the Aquarian age. and more people are tuning into it and learning it and using it and understanding themselves through it. And that's the part that I think excites me the most.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like Language Lab, isn't it? Yeah. Where like, even if you have, you know, your working knowledge of astrology, I mean, it's job, it's repeat, it's always, and we are all, when we visit the most simple inhale, exhale breath, I mean, how much more is there to discover from it? Like there's so much more when you just come back to the source and then, oh wait, I didn't come at it from this angle before. Like, I mean, everything, I think any teaching, any lesson, any course, you can always revisit if you want to. We can also be complete with something. But I think it's also great to, we learn so much from people that are new to things too.
And yeah, that's true.
You know, you really do get to experience beginner's mind again. And also, you know, when I learn something, I might set it in my memory with examples of like how that archetype plays out back, you know, say it was like 1998, I was taking a class. If I revisit, you know, Taurus now, Andrea Sedona, today, years old, I have a crystal, like all, like whole other context.
Yeah.
See how things play out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also going to be in Germany in end of May, early June. I'm super excited for this trip. So I'll be teaching yoga and astrology in the Black Forest, May 24, 25, 26. And then I'll be in Munich, teaching with my dear friend Mitali on June 1st. So a little trip to Germany. And PS, there might be a New York appearance as well.
Oh, I just wrote down those Germany dates.
Yeah.
Because you know me. You know me.
I do know you.
I like to plan international travel with like 2 weeks notice and awkwardly bring it up to Ian and him being like, so you're thinking of going to Switzerland? And it's like, buddy.
You're like, I already have the plane ticket. Like, I'm expecting you to drive me in like 48 hours. What?
I have a pair of snow boots showing up in 24 hours.
Yeah. Okay. So more exciting stuff to come. And well,
yeah. And we're, you can find, we have all our information on how to reach us. You can do a reading with Joanna. And if you're in LA and you want to think about gridding your space and you want to book with Joanna, and we can collaborate that way too. That's always part of our offering with this work. And is there something else I feel like, or have we just given them a lot of exhale hot air?
We've talked a lot about the breath, folks. The exhale hot air is actually incredibly important. There's more to be discovered with that exhale.
Oh, actually, yes. No, I did a joke when you talked about the book about breathing. I was like, do you open it up and it just says, just breathe?
No.
That guy's going to make millions. No.
It's like, what happens to the body if you block your nose and only breathe through your mouth? And it's like basically all of your systems start to go freak out and go haywire. It's not good. And then they do the opposite where it's like, then they shut the mouth and they only breathe through the nose and then they get their entire system gets back online.
My reaction to mouth breathers is actually, I care about their overall well-being. Like I know that if they're mouth breathing, then they're destroying themselves and therefore...
That it's at there. You should read this book. There is medical evidence to support that thesis.
Really?
Yes,
so
mouth breathing causes all kinds of problems. First, it causes misshapen mouths. Okay. It causes damage to the teeth get impacted with, you know, the jaw gets smaller or bigger. Like it's the tongue's not working properly. Your blood pressure often gets very high. You are more susceptible to snoring, to sleep apnea, which, by the way, is not good. Meaning if you have disturbed sleep, you're not getting enough REM sleep. You're not regulating your body as it should be doing during the sleep cycle, because what happens then is your nervous system calms down, your brain resets, your glandular system resets. You, by the way, children, you grow while you're sleeping because your hormones are secreting properly. So imagine if you're breathing through your mouth, you're disrupting all of these biological symptoms, and it's incredibly impactful mouth breathing. I mean, they're saying too, it could cause all kinds of other types of brain disorders like ADHD even, where you're restless and you can't focus.
It's really interesting because like I think about it when I, if I'm congested and like have to breathe through my mouth at night, my teeth feel disgusting in the morning. It has that weird, like filmy. So then, but what about people that like have like congestion stuff and allergies and.
Well, that's part of it, is the reason for congestion and allergies and for the sinuses is because you're breathing through the mouth. And so they've got this whole thing where there's a, I think it's called mouth tape, where you can buy, of course, you can buy it on Goop, folks. It is. and this guy's like, there's some kind of medical tape that doesn't have a lot of, what's it called? Like, it doesn't taste or whatever, but you could use medical tape or you can buy fancy mouth tape and you just put it over your lips. And even if you can only put it on for 5 minutes, that's 5 minutes more than zero. Back to sort of stuff that we've been talking about of meditation and how long you can hold the pose, et cetera. You could just put it on for a couple minutes, and then you know, over time, it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. And ideally, if you've got anything, any of these types of sleeping disorders or sinuses or allergies, over time, the more you train the nose to breathe, the more you train your body system to function so that you're breathing through the nose, the better. And the increase is exponential. So the more you're breathing properly through the nose, the better your overall health is going to be. Your immune system fires up, your hormones are working properly, your nervous system has calmed down, you're not in that fight or flight, you know, with that hyperventilating state through the mouth breath. And again, it goes back to sort of the amount of oxygen and carbon dioxide that's going in and out, because the mouth, as I take a breath through my mouth right now, the mouth is not set up as a filter. The nose is set up as a filter. You have cilia in the nose. You have blood vessels in the nose. There's a heating and cooling system through the nose. It's moving properly through the cavities of the head to get into the right order, organizing principle of your lungs. I also would say too that, you know how sometimes you breathe, like you can, have you ever had this where you're like, for some reason it always happens with carrots. You're eating a carrot and it goes down the wrong tube.
Oh my God. No. Ian does that all the time. Ian will be driving back from yoga and he'll be eating carrots and talking. And he can't, I mean, we can't get through it. And it's, and I'm like, do not, he's chewing.
Have you ever had the experience where the food goes up into the nose, like from the throat into the nose? Yeah, it's gnarly. This is part of this. This is why we actually have to train ourselves to breathe properly. If we were breathing properly, even while eating, by the way, we wouldn't have these types of scenarios. Our body would be, the epiglottis would be moving properly to know that this is food. The breath is moving. The mouth is closed. The breath is still moving. The food is going in one direction. The breath is going in another direction. It's really interesting to think about. And I highly recommend this book to everyone, particularly if you are a meditator. It gives you more ammunition, I think, to continue to meditate, to continue to do some kind of breath practice. Mm-hmm. And I'm fascinated by it. I'm pretty good breathing through my nose, but I'm tempted to try this tape I am tempted to try it. What would it be like to put that tape and just to know that your entire nighttime sleep cycle is through the nose?
Hey man, listen, I'm always up for a good experiment. And that's another, that's another tip for anomalous action, changing things up, having more courage to just take a chance on something, just treat it as an experiment. Just be like, you know what? I'm just going to try it. Like I'm just going to try doing a live on YouTube just to see how it is. I'm so stuck on Instagram, that kind of thing. And just really quickly, we are not medical professionals. This is our
Yes.
disclaimer. We are not telling you anything except this book is very interesting. These are the things this dude's saying. Read it if you want. Don't read it. Don't worry about it. You're fine. If you breathe through your mouth at night, you're fine. Just not in the same room as me. We're just talking.
Watch your P's and Q's and carrots. All right. Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you, Joanna.
We'll talk soon.